Honestly, okay, I'm the opposite of Ryan Kingsley. Ryan's got a voice that'll like go kilometers. I need a microphone. Yeah. So yeah, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the welcome. And yeah, it's just already been cool to visit, certainly for myself, over the last couple of months. Just pop my head in, get a feel for the congregation. Had already brought the family, I think, once the one evening. Just, yeah, just get a feel for what Jesus is doing here. And we're stoked to be here. We really are. And we really believe that Jesus is in this. So, Niels, where are you? At the back. I mean, the reason we're here is because Jesus has sent us actually to support him and to blow wind into the sails of him as a lead elder, because there's so much on his life. And there's so much that Jesus still wants to do. In fact, is only beginning to do here. And so I'm stoked. We're stoked to take kind of a step out of leading, where leading, being at the sharp end of the arrow, can be intense. You'll hear a little bit of that now. And so to come in and lean behind Neil and lean into what Jesus is doing here and trust that as we do that, God is going to do what he needs to do. We make ourselves available, and then he brings the life. And so that's why we're here. So this is my wife, Lee. As you can see, she loves public speaking. So this is part of her growth, her journey as well. And yeah, we're kind of the opposite. We're at home, sometimes I won't say much, and I love speaking in front of people. She'll say a lot behind the scenes, and I won't say much. Like, Ross, speak to me more. And then, anyway, that's just how God tends to work sometimes, you know? But firstly, yeah, just to say, we totally was ordinary people. I mean, God happens to now to have called us from the suburbs into the city, and that's going to be a journey in itself. We're going to have to trust God in that. But yeah, we're just so aware that Jesus is leading us. So it's our heart this evening, as Neil had asked us, to share some of our journey, firstly, so you can get to know us. I don't actually like doing this. I prefer to make more of Jesus and preach the gospel and do that kind of thing. But Robin also, who knows me well, nodding. Yeah, I know. Anyway, so I see the purpose behind us doing this evening, so you can get to know us. But it's my heart also, as we do share, that you'll be strengthened. This evening you'll feel a strengthening coming into you, into your faith, because there's a race to be run here, and there's courage that's going to be needed. And so I really honor you guys for almost 2 years. Church planning is no joke, but God is in it, just at the heart of God. And so those who sowed already and laid your lives down to come and reach this community are doing something which is close to his heart, and that's why we're stoked to be part of it, because we know Jesus is here, and it's where he wanted us to be. So what I'm going to do now is I need one of the leaders to keep me accountable, otherwise I will go all night. All right, so Mark, who's leading the meeting, breathe, 30 minutes. I'm going to try to break this thing up into 10-minute slots. Okay, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. Pray for me, pray for yourselves. It's hopefully going to be good. But what we'd love to do, let me pause for a moment. Firstly, to those from Weinberg, thanks for pulling through tonight. It's just awesome you're here. So just to honor you, the Weinberg crew, great that some of you are here. And then Mitchell's Plan, Love and Grace, a church that's close to our hearts, and you'll hear more of over the coming season, I'm sure. I'm just amazed that you're here, Jason, especially because Liverpool happens to be playing right now. So, okay. Yeah. I'm actually speaking more to myself than anyone. Then what else was I going to say? Let's move on. All right, let's start that clock. Let's go. So behind us, you have a picture which is illustrated not by Dylan Jones. Dylan is a legend in Weinberg, ex-City bowler, but by Kirsten Lewis. She's a member of Sunningdale PM. Her parents were deacons with us in Weinberg, and then moved from Weinberg across to Sunningdale PM about coming up for 2 years ago now. And she's an amazing illustrator. Actually worked with Studio Boland last year. If any of you know Richard Boland and Studio Boland, some of you do, Andrew does. And she was amazing. I actually wanted to employ her, but she's chosen to study more. She's a legend. She did that for us. So that's the family. Probably the most telling thing about the church plant there in the whole picture, you can't see, but that's a little speck of gray that's in my beard that she put in there. Because there's just two like little pixels of gray. And that's because, 7.5 years goes quickly, and we've been through some stuff, both amazing but also challenging. So it's our desire this evening just to share our heart with you. So firstly, I'm going to give Lee an opportunity to share in a moment. So we've been married 14 years, We were at school together, but we weren't high school sweethearts. I was a year ahead of Lee at school. We studied at the same Christian college. It's known as Cornerstone. Back in the day when we studied there, it was an amazing college. It really was. And we met some incredible people who we're still friends with. A college that was, at the heart of it, was cross-cultural. It was multi-ethnic. It was multi-denominational. And I love the fact that some of that is happening even this evening. Like, God is in that. And because whenever he builds his church, all nations will be drawn to him. We currently live in Plumstead. So like I say, coming from the suburbs to the city, whoa, okay, it's going to be something. We live in Plumstead, about 300 meters from where we studied. Can you believe it? I'm a Liverpool supporter. I love coffee. I love reading. I love sports. I love running, though I do get injured at times. I love Ava. I don't like asparagus. As we share each other's lives, just wanted to let you know that. Okay, if I don't eat the asparagus, it's not because I don't like you. And Lee, should I talk about you? Hey? Can I say that? Okay, Lee. Lee's a friend of friends. She has got so many friends. It's unbelievable. And she is a true friend. She's a friend of friends. She's a tea drinker. She's an Instagram follower. She loves Instagram. Oh, man. Yeah, our daughter actually helped us with this. She loves to sew. She loves to garden. She loves to go walking on her own in the green belts of Constantia. The moms here will understand that. And it's just an amazing lady who's been at my side through it all and has shared so much. And has a real, I think, I don't want to talk about it too much, but has a real gift of discernment and mercy. And so I think you'll see the two of those come through. She hates being up front. So you won't often see her up here unless God does keeps challenging her. But she's amazing. You want to talk about the kids?
I'm just going to share quickly, and then I can sit down. When we had our farewell at Weinberg, I just said I was just so amazed at how God worked this whole thing out. And it was just so amazing going back to the January Elders Camp, where there's often a lot of reshuffling, and every January we're like, oh, are they going to move us? What's going to happen? And we were like, oh, there's no way it's going to happen this year. We haven't had any, like, you know, pre-chats or anything. And then Ross phoned me on the Thursday, and I was like, oh, I need to sit down. Because I wasn't there. And it's just such a beautiful way that God has worked this, that he's moved us here, and that this incredible couple from Mossel Bay, Ross and Margot Lahana, have moved into Weinberg. They've left jobs to move in, and we fully believe that they are going to take the church to amazing places, and they're going to, like, you know, live the dreams that we had for Weinberg, and that they've got new dreams. And then to be here, very precious with Marius and with Neil and Taryn, who we know from City Bowl days. And I said in Weinberg, you know, it's so great to come here to people that we have a history with. And then I was like, I mean, a good history, because we've always got to, like, declare a good history. And Marius's boys were my little boys' age. And now when I see them, I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're all growing up. we're very excited to be here, I must say, and just to have connections with a few people and get to know new people. I just wanted to share quickly about our children. So Olivia is 7.5. She is in grade 2 at Weinberg Girls. And Evan is 4.5 in preschool, a little preschool which he loves. He loves school. Olivia's not so happy with school often. It's such hard work, you know. So it's going to be a long journey in grade 2. So, yeah, I just wanted to encourage you. For them, it's been quite a process to process them about moving church. They've been quite heart sore. Evan's a bit, he's young, he's very loud, he's gregarious. You can see, I mean, he's like a total sweatball here because he's been running outside with the boys. So he'll be fine. Olivia's coming into a church where they know kids her age. So she's very, So I just wanted to invite you to, when I'm standing with her or she's around, chat to her. She loves chatting. She loves connecting one-on-one. She can be a little bit shy. But just to invite you guys into our lives, please chat to them. Evan's very cute, so people are often drawn to him, and she often then, so please do. Olivia, she loves to chat. She loves to engage. And she's got quite a funny sense of humor underneath it all. She looks very serious. Yeah. I think she's more like Ross. And they both have a really bad case of FOMO, so they like to be where the action is.
Brilliant. Yeah, every day, the day before, it's like, what are we doing tomorrow morning? What are we doing tomorrow lunchtime? What are we doing tomorrow afternoon? What are we doing tomorrow night? So they always want to know what we are doing. It's going to be exhausting. Anyway, but they're amazing. So just a bit more of that background. How long have I been, Ru? What have we been? Okay, that's good. Let's go. I'm going to fly, so hang in there because I don't want to waste time, but I do want to share hearts. We've got an interesting journey even of how we joined Josh Gen, and I felt to share some of that so you can get to know us and how we ended up firstly with Weinberg in the southern suburbs and then here today. So we were both, I'll say this, a charismatic Anglican church. If such a thing exists, ask me, it does. Amazing church in the southern suburbs of Cape Town. Lee was initially saved as a teenager into the Baptist church, but we then met, we were at the same school, but we met at this church in the southern suburbs, and it was a church which was full of life, believe it or not. It didn't have the wineskin, but it had the wine. The wine would come, but the wine would also kind of spill onto the floor and then kind of fade away. So we saw a lot of the life of God. It was a church which was very impacted by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the 1990s. I was saved in 1999. Lee was saved a little before that. And I joined that church in 1999 because I was an unbeliever, leaving school, got saved on the Alpha course. Johan, it's great. It's great that Johan's here as well. I just want to say, it's amazing to see you. We had a senior pastor who led that church who was very connected. His life was all about connecting with other leaders. And so even though we were part of this like Anglican church in the southern suburbs, we were very connected with the churches across the city. And so at that time, there was a movement amongst the churches in Cape Town called Transformations. Anyone been around long enough to remember that movement? We had prayer meetings in the rugby stadium of 60, 70,000 people praying for the city, praying for the nation. Anyone remember? Yeah, there were the faithful were there. our pastor, Trevor Pierce, at that time, he was in there. He was one of the people moving and shaking and getting those things organized. And it could be painful at times in some ways, but it was amazing because he really opened doors for us as young people to see the city and to see what God is wanting to do. Then we had another pastor who had a major impact on our lives and our early faith called Greg Smurden. You might remember there was a man called Michael Cassidy who came to preach into Joshua a couple of years ago. Well, Greg Smurden worked for Michael Cassidy in Pietermaritzburg for African Enterprise for years. He was an evangelist on his team, and he went across Africa preaching to cities. So Greg would go into Lusaka in Zambia, and he would preach to a stadium full of people, literally, like that type of evangelist. And he came to be our like young adults pastor at an Anglican church in the southern suburbs of Cape Town. We were all like, this is weird. He's Pentecostal. He's fiery. He's uncomfortable in many ways because he was so challenging. But he got us out of our comfort zones and, again, got to see and appreciate the city and what Jesus was wanting to do in the city. Still with me? Okay, I'm just putting stuff out there. Lee and I went on a mission trip, our first kind of major mission trip together. We weren't married yet. We were kind of dating at that time, were we? I think so. But this was back in 2003. We went to Brazil. So Mike Davies is about to go to Brazil. We went to Brazil in 2003. Life-changing trip. Greg led us. We went to Sao Paulo and Rio, and we saw unbelievable things that the Holy Spirit did, but also saw charlatans, saw men who were in it for the money, men who were in it for the power. And as a young man, just remember, you know how they used to line people up back in the day to pray for them? Don't do it so much now, but it's kind of a done thing in some churches. And men pushing, a man pushing people over because the man of God had to operate in power, right? And so in that culture, saw both the negative, but also the powerful. We saw the power of God on that trip, like, just unbelievable. So it really shaped us and, again, made us realize that God is at work in the nations. And then we were married in 2005, eh? 2005, is that, are we coming up? Okay, anyway. Okay. I'm just going to get out of that hole quickly. Move on. Anyway, shortly after we were married, we spent 6 months living in Mozambique. So when I went to Lee and I said, will you date me, Lee? So this is in the early 2000s. I gave her a tape. Do you guys know what a tape is? Could put a pencil into it and turn it? A tape. I said, listen to this tape. Before you date me, you need to, I've got to, like, anyway. And it was all about this missionary in South Sudan had given himself to follow Jesus. His marriage had fallen apart in the process, which wasn't great. But anyway, he did some great stuff. That's what Lee got out of the tape. She's like, his marriage fell apart. Why did you give this to me? I was like, somehow I missed that. God just used him to do amazing stuff. And I was keen for that. Anyway, that's been part of our journey. Is Lee always going like, Ross, just rein it in and keep it real. Don't run before you've learned to walk type of vibe. Anyway, we spent 6 months in Mozambique. It changed us because, again, it exposed us to a different culture, different people, and Jesus at work amongst the rural. I mean, we had no water. We had to pump water. We had no electricity. It was in the bush, and it was life-changing. Like I said, we studied at Cornerstone from 2000 to 2004. Lee was 2 years ahead of me, and then I worked a bit and then went and studied. Mentioned already, strong multi-ethnic and denominational ethos. I was on staff as a young adults pastor at this Anglican church from 2007 to 2009, which is why I know some of the youngsters who run businesses, for example, Richard Bolland, because he used to be one of the young adults that I used to lead. He's a member of a church in Mowbray, an Anglican church in Mowbray at the moment, and I was just moved. Anyway, getting distracted. But I was a young adults pastor from 2007 to 2009, and we'd been part of that church now, this Anglican church, for a decade. Actually, it was 11 years. And we felt like even though we had experienced so much, we'd realized that the wineskin wasn't holding the wine. We're seeing a lot of the life of God, but the church, the life and the dynamics and the relationships of the church, you're missing something. And just even though we'd studied and kind of didn't know what it was. And then someone mentioned Josh Jen. Josh Jen? What a strange name for a church, firstly. And then, anyway, we ended up visiting Josh Jen through a couple of friends back at the end of 2009, October 2009. Can still remember it vividly. I remember Hunstead worship that day. Ryan preached, and yeah, it was our first taste of Josh Jen City Bowl, which was meeting in Sea Point, I think down close to where you live, Mark. Way down, where are we? Right on that side. At a school, and we had been searching, and what was interesting, we had just been to America before that, and we'd been to Bethel, and I thought that God was wanting us to go the Bethel route, so maybe go to do the School of Supernatural Ministry. We'd check Bethel out, and we'd spend a few days there. Anyone know Bethel? He's into Bethel. Anyway. And so we were there in 2009, and while we were there, it was an amazing experience, an amazing church, but I just felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, there's something more, and you're going to find it back home. It's going to be something on South African soil, because what you're seeing there is not everything that I want you to see. And we came back, and it was we didn't know about Josh Jane yet, so then we heard about Josh Jane and visited, and just an amazing time in our lives as God redirected us, much like he has this year, to Josh Jen. And so we then went back to the church. We'd been talking to them for quite some time, saying we wanted to move on, and we resigned. And I left, and we packed it up. The Anglican church still lived in the same home. And from January 2010, we gave ourselves to City Bowl. We came onto membership in I think, March 2010. We started leading a home group a couple of months later because the Hausners came onto eldership in City Bowl, Mike and Angie Hausner. We started leading their home group. Albert was in that home group. Anyone else here who was in that comm? Huh? No, I think you're the only one, bro. Legend. And you're just such an amazing group of people. And then, so that happened in 2010. It was just a crazy time of our lives because having left the Anglican church, I was now unemployed. I didn't have work for 5 months. I was unemployed. And eventually it was actually through Natalie Pollock's sister, Liz. Liz had a coffee shop at the time. She had a barista resign. And in May, I was like, we'd run out of money. Lee was grafting. I was looking for work. We were giving ourselves to Josh, and I was panicking. My father-in-law was like, what are you doing with my daughter? You don't know. Hey, she said, if only he knew we were about to fall pregnant a few months later. I mean, anyway, crazy stuff. But, he was like down my throat. I was like, Jesus, what is going on? You've got to look out for me. Anyway, Liz and out for us. Liz comes to us, says, hey, this barista's resigned. Will you come work for me? We're just having supper with her one night. And so from that, ended up making coffee for about 6 or 7 months, the rest of 2010 at a coffee shop. And while I was working at that coffee shop, I was serving all the members of my old church because it was right next to my old church. That's interesting. I can tell you. You see some stuff. It was interesting. Would you like a coffee? When like a couple of months later, you've been preaching and leading. And but God is at work. He's actually work on my character and my heart. And he was wanting to reveal stuff and humble. So served coffee for a while, and then over that time I ended up working. I got two jobs. We served coffee, and then I was working for an NGO in Heart Bay, in the township in Heart Bay called Imzamayetu, that township. And I worked for a non-profit called Ikaila Temba, not the Josh Shen one, the other one in the city. Okay, so I worked for them for a couple of years, and over that time we fell pregnant, had a child. We left City Bowl. We were planted out of City Bowl into the southern suburbs. Who was part of that plant? Simon, hands up. Anyone else? No, Bruce. Yeah, or Sid initially. So we were planted from City Bowl to join a group of people from a church in the southern suburbs, Constantiaburg Church. Sid was a member of that church and has been with us ever since. Amazing man. Just been an absolute joy to journey with him. That all happened in 2010, 2011. The reason I'm saying all of this, you probably feel like a train's run you over. Anyway, is because we've got to learn to hear God. We've got to learn to see what Jesus is doing and saying. And I quickly learned coming into Josh Jane that the number one area that I hadn't had in my life up to that point, even though I'd been pastoring other people, was people speaking into my life, was my life being submitted to others, my life being open to others. I mean, Ryan used to hunt me down for coffees. Coming, I don't know if he still does at the City Bowl, but like he's unescapable. You can't get away from Ryan. And initially coming into Josh Chen, I was like, this is very uncomfortable. Inwardly, I was just going, leave me alone. But he would just admit, what's going on? What's you processing? And all of that was part of God getting stuff out of me. And the reason I say that is because quickly things accelerated. I came onto eldership in March 2011. So we've been part of Josh in a year and basically 2 months. Onto eldership with City Bowl. Then we planted into the southern suburbs with a group from City Bowl of about 20. And for 7.5 years, we've labored and we served Jesus in that part of the kingdom. And there've been highs and there've been lows, but God has led us and he's been with us. And so that's part one. Okay, what am I doing for time? I'm going to have to really move. What we saw, just to point out, what we saw coming into Josh Chen initially, and what our heart was really from the beginning, was we experienced unity like we'd never seen before. Like a genuine unity. Something we'd never seen before, something we'd never experienced before, something we'd longed for. And that's still on God's heart for us to this day. And for Green Point, unity, a unity in the Spirit. It was a season in which Jesus was teaching us to embrace the new and the unexpected, much like we're having to do at the moment, not looking back or settling, but having to move on into the new. And so, like I said, we were planted back into the soil of the land we'd just left, the southern suburbs. And I think we had within us a willingness to say yes. That's the one thing that Jesus had really formed and shaped in us. Like, let your default be yes. I'd always said that to myself. If a leader came to me and said, hey, Ross, will you make coffee? Yes. Even if I didn't feel like it. Hey, Ross, will you be an overseer? I tell you, I oversaw City Bowl. It was chaos. Just at that Hope Street venue. I don't know what was going on. Robin oversaw with me. Ian Yonker. It was like youngsters, people, mess. I don't know what I was doing. It was just like, I don't want to do this. I want to be in the meeting. But it was just learning to serve, and it was all Jesus working on my character and working in our hearts and our lives. Okay. So I want to put a quick picture. Is there a slide? Can you put the next slide up? That season for us was a season kind of like watermelon. Ugh, man. I love watermelon on a hot day. Most runners love watermelon as well because it's a fruit you use at the like eating tables in a marathon. There will usually be watermelon there. You can chow some watermelon and on you go. It's refreshing. It's life-giving. It's sweet. We just experienced something which we never thought we were going to experience and changed our lives. And then we were on and we were leading and we were planting. And I went from being like working in the world full time, like Neil is currently, to over the course of a number of months, I can't remember exactly how long it was, to getting that phone call from Andrew the one day, okay, Ross, you're going to have to pull out of working now. You've got to lead full time. And going like, okay, I'm going to have to take a step of faith. Let's do it. And started leading the congregation full time. And yeah, I mean, met with Phil back in those days, and it was a total step of faith, salary-wise, life-wise, everything, to take that step of faith. But God has been so faithful to us through it all. And so the Constantiaburg Weinberg journey started. And so I've been a lead elder since about the end of 2011. And it kind of becomes part of you, yeah? Like after 7.5 years or whatever, it's kind of more than anything else, I think that that's how I identified myself. I'd only come to realize that, but it was just so part of the fabric of who I was. Through this last 7 years, boy, we've seen some stuff. So next part is, how long have I been now? About 15? 16? Okay, jeez, I've got so much more to say. Okay. So we started leading Weinberg towards the end of 2011. And it wasn't so much a church plant as it was a church merge, which meant we had a lot of foundational values to work through in order to find unity. I can remember having these meetings back at the animation studios in Bergfleet in the 2012. What's it called? Triggerfish. I think they're still there at their studios. We met in one of their rooms and having, you know, the Andrews, the Wills, the Mike Davies and all of them pulling through and giving all this input, values. This is who we are as a people, as this group of people, like 30 of us from City Bowl, 20 of us from City Bowl and about 15 from this other church. Suddenly we're lumped together and we had to love each other and journey together and realize that actually, geez, we didn't necessarily see things the same at all. But God is in that, eh? And he was shaping us through it. And we had to lean heavily on team at that time. I was a lead elder, and I had alongside me Mike Hausner, who was serving. Mike is an engineer, was an eldership at that time. And then there was another full-time elder. Before I came on full-time, there was another elder, Duncan, who'd been with Constantinburg for years. And so we joined together, and the three of us had to make up a team. And I'm telling you, it was challenging, eh? Excuse me. My throat's just dry. Hang on, let me have some water. There may be overtime, yeah. Thanks for that. I'm going to go. And so initially we really had to lean heavily on team, but we realized as we tried to work together that there were some deep unity issues. And so from the beginning of the excitement of this church plant or this church merge, it quickly got really difficult, certainly at leadership level. And at the beginning of 2013, it was a difficult time because Duncan and Rose had been with an eldership. They chose to step down, leave Josh in, and it was a messy leaving. Not necessarily publicly, but just in terms of behind the scenes of a relationship where it was a real tearing and it hurt. Mike and Andrew had been on team with us, and I want to honor them. They're incredible. They were at Weinberg a couple of weeks ago when we were prayed out. Because of the toll of actually of what had happened over that time, stepped off eldership and have been on their own journey since then. And so we went from being a team of three to being a team of one. Now, I want to say that within Josh Jen, obviously, we are one church with many congregations. So we were never on our own. We always had support. But there was something about leading locally on our own, which was particularly challenging. And again, God had to do some serious character work in me and in us. And I quickly realized, without a team, I was out of my depth. I was out of my depth. And so Ryan gave us a lot of input, gave us a lot of support. And I'm just so thankful for who we are as a church. You know, for the teams that came in, the people that visited over that season, those who came in and led worship, those who preached, the saints who came. And I remember Robin just coming and like, would just bring so much life, actually. And just even as a person, we weren't married in those days, weren't kids or anything like that. Just being who you were and as an example and just bringing so much encouragement to us. And want to encourage Greenpoint to be that sort of church. I don't know you guys really, but to be people who will be willing to bring life to others. And all of that, I think, was preparing us for what the future held. Okay. And so we led a church called Josh and Constantinburg until May 2014 when we replanted the congregation as Josh and Weinberg. We uprooted the congregation. We brought it to an end, we closed it, and the next week we restarted it with a new name in a new venue. And through that, a lot of people left. They're like, we're not up for this. It was good. It was part of Jesus at work. It was part of God's sifting. And so we now had to navigate through that time over a couple of years. But quickly, as we took this step of faith to be planted in a new area and for a reformation, really, of our values and of who we are as a church, like it was a real reformation that took place. As it happened, with apostolic inputs and others coming in, God began to add people to us who were significant. And the Scots coming from City Bowl to us was a game changer because they came with values, they came with heart, they came with capacity. To this day, Robin tells me, hey, when we first chatted and he came into the congregation, he's like, Ross, what can I do for you? Because I think he could see all the gaps. And I just said to him, just chill, bro. Just relax and get to know people. And as you get to know people, God will make a way. And came on to eldership over the, I can't remember how long it was, and it was a shift that changed the whole direction of the congregation, because now it wasn't one, but it was two. And once there was two, there could be three. The Fashays were added to us. We did a church planting course with them, and later they were added to us. Dylan and Heike, who had been with us all the way from the beginning, came through. I mean, so many times Dylan and Heike wanted to leave. They were just like, we're over this. Church planting is too hard. We've had enough. We're out. This sucks. And I can't tell you how many conversations I had with them. We ended up living next door to them, so they couldn't get away. We literally like, and there were times that Dylan and I would like walk past each other, not look at each other. Heike and Lee would chat. We weren't talking because it was, no, I'm not even. But we had to like work things through. Get that was deep, hard stuff, and shoe that. God did a work of him coming even onto eldership, and he's just been an amazing blessing. And so God's been good. He's built team again for that congregation. And so Ross and Margot come in now and take it into its inheritance. It's sad, but it's amazing. Because as I've come to realize, there's only so much that God puts in one person, that we're meant to be in team, that God desires that the saints, as you spoke about earlier, Mark, to rise up, and for each of us in our grace and our calling to function and to operate in the life of the church. You guys still with me? Okay, so worship might be a squeak at the end. Let's just see how this goes. Audrey, let's just see. Okay. So initially, it was so much that we'd experienced, but as these changes like underwent in our life and in the congregation, there was a season where, if we can put the next slide up, we can skip that because I've kind of spoken about that already, is it became, went from like watermelons more to like lemons, actually. And you know what they say about lemons? Huh? Yeah, they're great for making lemonade. But like, jeez, if you get a sour lemon, jeez, it's not nice, eh? It's not lekker. And we quickly realized, and I thought that this is relevant for Greenpoint, we quickly realized in that season of challenge for us as a couple and as a congregation that we all had choices to make. We all had to position ourselves in certain ways before Jesus. And we could get upset, we could get grumpy, we could moan. But if when I look at Scripture, all the moaning I ever see only means one thing. It means that you're never going to... Whoa! I dare you guys. Amen. How dare you guys? So so good. Okay, moving on. It'll be all night. But what I did want to say is, with regard to the lemons, hey, they are great for making lemonade. And we had a choice to make. And we all have a choice to make. And Will Murray, who is amazing, and who I just love. I love for his heart. I love because he's been through many difficult times as well. And is so honest about that. Will says, what about tests? He says, everything in life is a test. Your job promotion, the people in your life, the good times, the bad, everything is a test. And boy, were we tested. Like, I literally thought at times we weren't going to make it. We were tested in ways I'd never thought was going to happen. And so, I've seen it so often over the years, hey, with regard to journeying with the church, that people are in for the watermelon seasons, for the good times. But when the lemon seasons hits, it's amazing. People just disappear. They clutch out. All of a sudden, like, you know, when like Ryan would phone me, and obviously I could only duck and dive so much, and then we'd connect. But like people you've been walking with, as soon as the tests come, whoa, like where did you go? And I want to really encourage us not to be those sorts of people. But as the test, as you might even be in the midst of testing yourself, to really push in, to push into Jesus, to push into your leaders, to push into those around you, because it's likely that through the testing, There's stuff that needs to come out of you. For me, I had tests of desire. I had times where like, God, I want to chuck this in and I want to go do something else. I had dreams of doing many things, I can tell you, but just not leading a church. The tests of desire, like tests of enthusiasm, where I felt like my fire had gone out. I had been snuffed out. But God, who was gracious, each time, you know, you get into his presence. Something amazing about his presence, more than a preach, more than anything else, that his presence changes us. And being able to seek him and find him and find his presence. There were tests of identity. I went through serious like times of anxiety and stress and things I hadn't experienced since I was a child while I was trying to lead. And thankfully, God added a psychologist to my team because not only was he a psychologist, but Robin's just an amazing man, an amazing friend. He could pick things up. He would read me. Ross, what's going on? Ross? I saw this. What's going on? There were tests of calling. And I know there might be many of you from City Bowl that initially came with enthusiasm. You're kind of 2 years in. I mean, frothing initially. How are you doing now? Because it's going to be the test of the calling. Like, has God really called you to be here? Because if you're going to be here. Because you're only going to grow if you put roots down. And that was our challenge in terms of leading. It was always getting people to put their roots down. It felt like people were in it for the good times, like I've said already. But when the tests came, come on, man, that's a chance to put your roots down even further. And so let's be that sort of people. There were tests of trust, our trust of leaders, and the saints' trust of us. Oh, with almost every single person in the church, there were tests of trust. I don't trust you, Ross. What? What do you mean don't trust me? Like, and then having to work that through, chat it through. And it's just, it felt unending at times. But all of that was actually because God was working on me. And working on each person in the life of the church. So God tests us not in order to fail us, but to grow us. I just want to say again about tests and unity, coming back to this theme of unity, which I think is coming through as I share, is unity is more than agreement. It's more than like, yeah, we're on a journey together. Yes. Unity is more than that. Unity is actually because Jesus died on the cross for me, because I have been saved, and the length to which he went, I'm going to lay my life down completely in response to that. And that means I'm going to live my life in such a way that I don't, like nothing is mine. It's his entirely. And unity comes from that place. Unity comes from a place actually of sacrifice and the laying down of our lives, not from agreement. Agreement is something that comes further along the line as we agree to journey together. But you've got to be living your life in such a way that you're willing to lay it down for him. And I'm telling you, when we started Constantiaberg-Weinberg 7.5 years ago, it was uncomfortable in many ways because we were going back to a place we just thought we had left. After 11 years, we're like, yes, we're getting out of the southern suburbs. We're getting into City Bowl. We're experiencing all this life with Josh and stuff we've never seen. And God, 14 months later, it was a year and a half. So that's 18 months later, sends us back. And boy, we were tested in that journey in ways that even this evening, I'm struggling to share with you. So God tests us in order to grow us. Unity is more important than agreements. And you know what? Fruit takes time, man. If you want to see lasting fruit, cheapest. I've always had a longing for revival, eh? If you ask me more than anything else, Elsa gave me such an amazing word of encouragement, just like a letter she wrote, and as many from the congregation did as we were leaving a couple of weeks ago. One of them was just around teaching and preaching, and I just really received that. I felt like it was God speaking to me. But underneath that and deeper than that is just a longing for God's presence, longing for revival, a longing to see God do a supernatural work in our generation. Amen. And I'm telling you, at times over the last 7.5 years, where that was basically snuffed out. But God's faithful. It's still there. It's still there. It's still something I'm longing for. And as Weinberg moves into more and a new leadership, I'm praying as we come and breathe wind into Neil's sails, that we're going to see fruit, deep fruit, like the roots go down deep and then lasting fruit come forward, fruit that lasts for eternity. And then Olivia said, she said, I must tell you that in a journey of church planting, friends are precious. Okay, friends are precious. She said that to us at lunchtime today, and I just want to say, friends, like in terms of the kingdom, we mustn't forget that underneath it all, there's so much that actually we do for him There's relationships, there's people here, there's things, there's connections that God's going to make here which are going to change your life forever and which are going to shape you for eternity. So be encouraged in that. So lastly, the last slide, I think, if we can skip the scripture, I haven't even managed to touch scripture tonight. It's terrible. Anyway, oh my word, it's grapes. Do you know, actually, in the end, that's what we're after. We're after the new wine. We're after fruit that's going to last. The watermelon's good, but that just gives you a taste of a thing. It invites you. We're all going to go through a season which is like lemons where we're going to be tested. But actually what the Father's wanting to do in our lives is this kind of work. Work which is deep, which is real, which is going to produce fruits that when we're crushed, there's going to be wine, pure wine, good wine that's going to flow out of us. You know, grapes take a while, eh? They take a while. If you're going to plant a vine from scratch and wait for them to grow to be something which is beautiful and producing fruit, it takes time. And so that's a little bit of our journey I felt to share with you this evening. And in my parting shot to you is to say, we're just so amped to join you and to be part of what God's going to do in Greenpoint. We definitely know that Jesus is in this. When I sat down with Andrew, you know, when I was asked to have that lunch, that meal at Elders Camp, Ryan comes and taps me on the shoulder and says, Ross, come and have a chat with Andrew, Kim and me. It's like, oh, okay, that's going to be interesting. And I sat down with a plate full of food in front of them. I couldn't eat it. So I was like, what's going to happen, guys? You know, as they spoke and they spoke about what they had on their hearts for the redirecting of our lives and the redirecting of the Lohana's lives, Ross and Margo, and then for Greenpoint and Weinberg, such a witness. We just knew this is the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Even if there wasn't a witness, I would have said yes. I can guarantee you that. Even if there wasn't a witness, I would have said, you know what? If you guys feel this is of God, I'll do it. We'll move, we'll come, and we'll serve. The good thing is we know Jesus is here. This is where we're meant to be. But sometimes we need to live our lives in that sort of way, where our lives are so open that we're willing to go even when we feel that, is Jesus, are you really in this? And do you know what? Even relationships like Mitchell's Plain, which unfolded in the course of our journey over the last few years. When you guys rocked up earlier, and a couple of you saw it, I nearly cried. Actually, there were some tears because, do you know, we didn't see it coming. But somehow, God has joined our hearts with a group of people in Mitchell's Plain, and we've become like family. And it's across all the boundaries of the city, across all the divides, across all those things that should be barriers. Jesus has joined hearts. And I'm telling you, when he does that, that's what we need to see more of in this nation, in the world, is Jesus doing these sorts of works. And so I'm saying all this stuff because I'm just amped to be on this journey with you. Thanks for listening. I hope it made sense. Yeah.
Can the muses come up in